Hello, this is Dave Slusher. It is Tuesday, August 31st, the evening of August 31st. This is the Evil Genius Chronicles, evilgeniuschronicles.org for the day. We are in the path of Hurricane Francis right now, 140 mile an hour top winds. Last weekend I was saying that two out of three weekends since we moved here, tropical storms, looking like it's going to be three out of four. So we've got this kind of nervous feeling in the pit of the stomach that something bad might be happening this weekend. And man, I can't tell you this kind of weird guilt that I feel watching these projections and, you know, hoping it hits somewhere else other than here. It makes me feel bad, but I also just don't want to be in the path of this thing. I wish it would just turn around and go back out to sea. I don't know if that's meteorologically possible, but oh, please. Please let's not have our house and all our possessions destroyed a couple weeks after we moved here. So, a couple things I want to talk about, and I'm hoping I'm not repeating myself. Like I said, I ditched a couple episodes. I ditched like 1.5 of these yesterday. I did it, threw it out, started again, threw it out again before I finally recorded it. So, you know, I've kind of lost a little track of what I've said and what I haven't said because, some of the things I said weren't, you know, the three things weren't identical, so some topics may have been missed. I had been kind of in this intra-blog discussion on enclosures with Lucas Gonzi, and I even printed out his response to my post, and I was going to sit down and kind of go through it, and I just don't feel that today. And I'm beginning to get this feeling that we're just talking such apples and oranges. It feels like a moment in Seinfeld when you realize that you're just not talking about the same thing. That his kind of focus on WebJ and these kind of arbitrary playlists that point to all kinds of weird things are leading him one direction, and I don't care about that at all. And my focus is entirely on show-based, you know, subscription-based, you know, fixed known entity type feeds. And so I have an entirely different perspective. But my only thing is, I think he's, if he's even saying this, that enclosures, you know, are not necessary or not good. And I think he really is, what he's saying is they're not appropriate for his uses. But I really don't think that that's a generalizable statement. And so that's, I'm much less enthused about that than I was earlier. I put up last night a release of Get Enclosures, the 0.2 release, and then promptly screwed up the link to it so that it wasn't downloadable, and thank you, Gordon Smith, for pointing that out to me. And did a little bit of tweaking a little earlier this evening, and I didn't really tweak anything. What I really wanted to do, actually I did tweak one thing, is I wanted it to save the cache more frequently. So I wanted to save the cache every time it successfully gets a file down, because one of the problems now is, you know, it writes the cache at the very end. So if you, you know, have 20 things to get and you get 19 of them and then it crashes or you kill it or something, you know, your power goes out, your computer shuts down, you get all those things again. So what I wanted to do is have it just write the cache after every time it successfully finishes up with downloading a file. It writes out the cache again so that that file is registered as having been downloaded. And then when you finish with the feed, you save it again, and then you save it one more time for safety as the program's leaving. That very last one I don't even think is necessary. It should be impossible to get there and not having saved, because if you saved each feed as you leave, then there should be nothing to do. But, you know, I'm doing it anyway. Why not? So that will help. And I also, I noticed on IT Conversations that they have a feed with enclosures for AAC, for the, you know, the MP4B, I think is the extension, but they're the iTunes format, the Apple format. Well, you know what? If you point Get Enclosures at that feed with the AAC enclosures, everything works exactly the same. Nothing is different, really. There's only one thing that's different, which is that those MP4Bs are not included in the M3U playlists. In the 0.2 release, I added it so that it would create, just that M3U Winamp style playlist for, you know, all the MP3s. Just so that if you're using XMMS or Winamp or something, you have something a little easy to import everything. So that's kind of the like pseudo equivalent of adding it to iTunes, is just writing out that playlist. Those won't be added to that playlist because, you know, what would be the point? But everything else works the same. It pops them up into iTunes, it adds them to the playlist, everything else is the same. And I do a little check to see if I'm going to add it to iTunes, and because I check on the MIME type, originally I was going to check on extension, but I just check on the MIME type. If the MIME type begins with audio, I attempt to add it to iTunes. So it just worked perfectly. So I switched, I unsubscribed to the MP3s, and now I'm subscribed to the AACs, so that if I'm in the middle and I have to stop, and I close out iTunes and I come back, I'm at the same spot. Beauty! So there you go. I've switched that, and as an example, I might leave it in the feeds.txt, that I distribute, maybe just comment it out. And you can, in get enclosure 0.2, you can comment out feeds in the text. You just put a pound sign in front and that will inactivate it. So just a little tiny tweak there. One of the IT conversations pieces that I listened to recently was Paul Graham, and he's talking about super hackers, or hackers walk the earth, or whatever the hell the thing was called. And I listened to that, and I like Paul Graham, and Paul Graham is like a big Lisp guy. He wrote the Lisp books that I've read, used his Lisp books as references before. And in grad school, I used Lisp, and it's actually the reason I use Emacs today as my primary editor. Is I took a re-engineering class in grad school that had a package that was Lisp, worked in Lisp. It was an add-on to Lisp, so you had to run Emacs to run this package. And because I was not a computer science undergraduate, I switched careers, and so I did one of these deals where it was easier to get the graduate degree without going back and get the bachelor's degree and just making up the work that I was missing. When I started grad school, I was like a babe in the woods, right? I'd never taken a computer course. I just had to convince them to admit me, and then I, ran my ass off to make up all the work. And so writing these things for this re-engineering class, it was weird because all these other guys who were all computer guys, computer undergrads, and knew more what they were doing, my programs were like more efficient and they worked better. And partly that was because I didn't have anything to unlearn when I sat down to do this Lisp stuff. It's really kind of weird, and it's not imperative. It's based on, evaluating a token to a value and passing that out and then passing that out. And you have these deeply nested, evaluation trees, and it's crazy stuff. And so I remember we had one thing that we're supposed to, it was a package that was supposed to like find every variable in this, it would compile like the syntax tree of the code. It's supposed to find every variable in the thing and count the number of times it was used. And I remember my thing ran like 10 times faster than the next fastest person. And one of my buddies, they asked him why this was. He said, he doesn't know what he's doing well enough to do it wrong, I think is what his verbatim quote was. But anyway, so I've read Paul Graham. I like Paul Graham. But his speech had a lot of one thing that really bugged the shit out of me, and that was this language fundamentalism. And some of this might be my own defensiveness, because he was talking about how real hackers don't use Java and stuff like that. And I do probably. Nowadays I'm doing more Java. I've had more and less Java in my career, but it's I actually like using Java, right? So basically I'm one of the, I guess I do the same thing about Windows users, but so he basically has said that it's not possible for me to be a good hacker, and whatever, everyone has their own opinion. But there's something that gets so it's that borderline Asperger's geek thing, that there's something when you get all like language fundamental. And, OS platform fundamental. All nerds turn into, I turn into the comic book guy from The Simpsons. It's like, Lisp, it's the best language ever. And it's really tedious. And so every time he did that, and so I'm really digging his talk, and then he's, he starts getting into this kind of, you know, you have to, if you don't do Lisp, then you're a lesser person kind of stuff. It's like, whatever. It really broke the flow, and you know, I thought it was kind of, every time he said that, I almost stopped paying attention, you know, so I had to kind of force myself to get back into his talk, so. But, you know, it's what floats Paul Graham's boat, so there you go. I also noticed, I forget how I saw this, it seems like on Doug Kay's weblog on IT Conversations, it seems like he's got this RSS feed for a weblog, but I couldn't ever find the web version of it. I was looking at something, and I can't remember what it was, I was like, W getting some stuff, or, and I noticed, like, floating by out of the corner of my eye, this thing about asynchronous bundles of passion. And so I see this reference to Doug Kay having blogged my audio blog entry, you know, where I talk about my big opus on the iPod platform, and that was what his title was, The Asynchronous Bundles of Passion, and I cannot tell you how happy I would be, even though I had said I don't care if that term sticks. If it does stick, I'll be really happy, because just having, you know, kind of having said influenced the vocabulary of this platform would really give me a big kick. But you know, and that's the other thing about part of what we're doing and getting back to that Lucas Gonzi stuff is, all I was really trying to do by setting out some of the terms and kind of like speaking the manifesto was collecting together these ideas in such a way that it's obvious that they're all related, that they're all of a piece, you know, that the asynchronicity is not different from some of the other aspects of it. You know, it's all together. The iPod platform doesn't exist without any of those pieces. So, like, when Lucas Gonzi says you don't have to preload MP3s, you get the Earl, you just load them when you need them. Well, that actually defeats the iPod platform, because it presumes network connectivity, and you know this notion that we're talking about is, maybe I have network connectivity, maybe I don't. I don't know. And so, you know, it's I'll come back to that at some point, but. For the moment, again, I just don't feel like scaling that wall right now. Oh, and I did actually, I think I'll close out with this. I talked to Buck, and it's spelled L-A-M. I think he pronounced it Lam, Buck Lam from West Virginia Public Radio. And we had a phone conversation earlier today, and it looks like we are a go for Reality Break returning to the airwaves. And in West Virginia, plus they're going to, in order to get it into their system, they're going to take my master tapes from that era. They're going to digitize them and, you know, convert them to waves and MP3s and all that stuff. And they have said that they are willing to host FTPs, or I'd actually like to see if they put it on a web server, or even better would be to just put up BitTorrents of these and make them available. So basically, as they're going to air these shows, and then they're also going to make them available digitally. And when this happens, I'm going to put my money, or my no money, since there is no money involved in any of this, where my mouth is. And what I want to do is, so at the point where they've digitized the file, they've made it available, and it would be very reasonable for them to not want it to go live until the show airs, or, you know, as the show airs, or something like that. That's fine with me if that's what they want to do. But so at some point, there's an URL at which this is available. Well, I'm going to publish a Reality Break RSS enclosure feed, so that if you want to subscribe and get all those radio shows, then by God, you can do it. So this is actually kind of a dream to me, because, you know, if it wasn't for the amount of labor involved and kind of, you know, I didn't, but, you know, the equipment situation has changed and I didn't have the right, you know, computers anymore, and this was before I, you know, had installed Audacity, and, you know, I'm probably buying a Griffin iMic so that I can do more audio stuff on this iBook. And, you know, that was before all that happened. I would have maybe done this myself, but it's nice to, you know, have kind of free student labor doing all the work of the digitizing, which is what's going to happen. It'll be radio and, you know, communication students out in West Virginia will be the ones who are sitting there digitizing and editing and doing all that good stuff. And then they'll make it available, and I'll just get to publish a RSS feed, and every week we'll have a new show go up, and It'll be great. So look for that. That should, you know, on the order of weeks or months. Should be definitely before the end of the fall, those should be available. And I will talk about that later. So this is Dave on Pins and Needles About the Storm here in Conway, South Carolina, signing off for Evil Genius Chronicles. It's Tuesday, August 31st, and we'll catch you again next time. Bye.